Blog Talk Radio.
Dance of the Old Radio Show.
Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and thank you for joining us tonight. And with a delayed reaction, no less, that's a matter of being live. And I can't apologize to you guys enough, and definitely to our guests, I can't apologize enough. But before we begin, we have a great guest tonight. But I just want to say thank you again to Mr. Joey D from Joey D and the Starlighters last night who joined us. We had such a great time, and I can't imagine the time we're going to have tonight. So we are going to have a blast with musician, producer, music supervisor for, I had no idea, Saturday Night Live. I had no idea, but without further ado, Kenny Vance from Jay and the American Planetones. How are you, sir? Thank you so much for joining me today. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. I'm fine. Thank you.
Wonderful. Are you still in New York or no?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I came into New York yesterday because we have this film that I directed is going to be playing at the Garden State Film Festival tomorrow, Saturday.
Right, yes, Heart and Soul.
Heart and Soul at 3 o'clock, yeah.
Right, and is that an open invitation for anybody they can attend, or is it ticket, you know, guest only, invite only?
Oh, no, it's open to the public, but, I mean, the tickets are, it's basically a, you know, film festival price.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know, $12, I don't know, something like that.
That's not bad.
It's not a lot of money. No,
right.
It's great.
And where is it?
And
I'm sorry, did you say?
I don't really have all the information, but it's at the Garden State Film Festival in Asbury Park.
If
they go online at the Garden State Film Festival, it'll give them all the information. The name of the film is Heart and Soul, and it's going to be played Saturday at 3 o'clock.
Excellent, excellent. And the story behind Heart and Soul, I mean, the reason I was asking if you still lived in New York, because Heart and Soul was somewhat born from your life living in New York, how you wanted to put it together. You want to share that with everybody, what happened with that footage and what made you really want to put this all together?
Well, you know, to me, it's about the transition the transition of a culture. How when this music was made by teenagers,
mm-hmm.
it was really the first time that these records started to sell millions of copies.
Right.
Before that, it was basically rhythm and blues records,
mm-hmm.
race records,
mm-hmm.
black artists making records for an adult black population. And
right.
if they had a hit record, they would basically sell 40,000, you know, copies, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, great. And then what happened was that the first record, I think, to sell hundreds and hundreds of thousands of records was a record called G by the Crows.
Hmm.
And, you know, it had a very, you know, it was unusual at the time. It had a guitar solo in there, like sort of like a Charlie Christian jazz guitar
mm-hmm.
solo.
Because I'm trying to think. I may know the song.
Yeah. Well.
Okay. But, I'm trying to think of, but I could be wrong. I'm trying to think how it goes.
OG, my OG.
Yes.
That's pretty much how it went. And
yes.
That's the, you know, with thinking about, with actually talking about something that's almost 70 years ago.
Right.
And the point that I was going for is that so the second record that it happened was Frankie Lymon and the Teenagers, a 13-year-old kid singing "Why Do Fools Fall in Love,"
mm-hmm.
and that record sold millions of copies.
Right.
So all of a sudden, you know, not only did this sort of turn the whole recording industry on upside down, it changed the culture from adults making music for adults
mm-hmm.
to all of a sudden kids making records for a new demographic that they didn't know existed, which was the youth market.
Right.
And if you think about it, you know, nobody really ever knew about that. So when that happened, not only did all of the record, the new record companies that were around want to make records for that market, but all of a sudden the ad agencies said, well, who's buying these records? And so all of a sudden the movie companies wanted to know who was buying. All of a sudden clothing manufacturers. And so all of a sudden they all started to, movies started to be made appealing to teenagers. Clothing all of a sudden was being made to appeal to teenagers. And that particular moment in time, you know, continued to the time the Beatles came, and it continues to this day, because all of those, all the recording industry, you know, they're not making records, you know, for 50 or 60 year olds. They're making records for teenagers.
For the kids.
To appeal to kids.
I consider that era the birth of music, honestly. I mean, because you had your standards and all that in the 40s and before, but the 50s, like you said, it just opened everything up, and it was for the kids, and it was exciting, and everybody was happy. And I was saying to Joey last night, also, he told me to tell you hello, by the way, Joey D. And I said to Joey last night that, you know, it brought people together. I mean, because you had your integration at the time and everything, and it brought blacks and whites together, the music, and it was just a great time for music, and it for me, I consider it the birth of music to where we are now. Not that today's music is great, but you know.
Yeah, no, that's true, and that record. So you know, it shows me that things change in the music industry first for some
mm-hmm.
reason.
Mm-hmm.
They like a lot of the groups in those days were mixed.
Right.
You know, as a matter of fact, Johnny Maestro and the Crests were a mixed group. The Del Vikings that did Come Go
mm-hmm.
With Me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no.
And
so,
Joey.
So that's,
yep.
And Joey D and the Starlighters, absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, I wanted to ask you, we'll come back to the movie. I'm so sorry. I wanted to ask you now, did you always want to be a musician or a singer, or was it until you saw that first show? And then, or was it something that you always wanted to do?
No, I never did think about it. I knew that when I was about 13 years old, Alan Freed came to New York. And he came to a failing 50,000-watt station. And WINS, they were ready to go out of business. So as a last-ditch effort, somebody must have told them, oh, there's this guy in Cleveland that's playing rhythm and blues records.
Right.
So they said, well, let's give it a shot. And they brought him to New York, and within a few months, he had the largest share of the audience at, you know, 7 o'clock at night until I don't know when, how long he went. And then, and of course I heard that and I just was captivated by it. You know, you're hearing records by groups like the Dominoes, by the Clovers, by Sonny Till and the Orioles, the Moonglows, the Flamingos, and you know, these groups were you know, the records were incredible. And not only were the records incredible, you know, when you think about it, they were recorded live, mono.
Right.
And so the engineers of those records were geniuses. And the art of it, king the room. You know, when you make a record now, you never even, you know, the engineer's job is it's a completely different job.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's all computer.
Their job was to, it's all computer, but their thing was to capture the vibe live in the room and mix it on the fly.
Right.
And when you think about hearing I Only Have Eyes for You by the Flamingos or Sincerely by the Moonglows, and you hear the spatial relation of to all of the instruments and the lead vocals and the background vocals, it's genius. And and because of that, because they captured the intimacy and the purity of those records, that's why they have this everlasting, that they have this everlasting feeling, this sound to them. And in the film that I made, there are 55 songs in it. And we've had it in a bunch of film festivals over the last couple of months. And what I notice is that the songs, when they play, they explode off of the screen, because even though they were made a long time ago, they have a certain resilience to them and a certain magic to them, no matter what age you are. You know, if you care about music, it touches you. So that's why that's why the film is, you know, getting this this buzz now that it's starting to get. And I hope that whoever might be listening can possibly grace us with their presence on Saturday at 3 o'clock in at the Garden State Film Festival.
Right. Well, the story, though, really, I was talking about when you were living in Rockaway with Sandy and how you saved this footage and just amazing. Could you imagine if it got lost and you would have never been able to put this together? I mean, that is history that you had there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I could go into that. I lived in this house for 40 years, and, you know, not only did I save all of my stuff, you know, old cassettes and half-finished songs and things like that, but over the years, like, so when I started, the Planetones were actually started for a movie that I did. It was called American Hot Wax, and it was the Alan Freed story, Paramount Pictures.
Right,
and,
I remember that.
They hired me to be the music director. So lucky me, I got a chance to recreate the show that I did see when I was 13 years old at the Brooklyn Paramount Theater. And I got a chance to recreate the show. And on the show, we hired Chuck Berry and Jerry Lee Lewis, Screamin' Jay Hawkins. You know,
those
guys,
and I
got to be with those guys, and as time went by, I reformed the Planetones. So that was in 1976, approximately, and then I don't know. I had been in the film business working on soundtracks, and it was wonderful, and then I thought, you know, I'm starting to get to the point where, you know, what is it that I, you know, if you're lucky enough to really, you know, do what you want to do. And I was really in that position at that time. And I thought, well, you know, I got in this business to sing, and
right.
I started the group again in 1992.
Wow.
And little did I know, you know, I thought, well, if you're really good, and I had a killer bunch of guys, Joe Esposito, mm-hmm. Bruce Sedano, Gary Bonner, you know, all like seasoned veterans.
Right,
and,
right.
We would play places, you know, we'd get $300 for the whole group.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't care, you know, we just loved doing it. And,
right.
you know, but as time went by, you know, like the economic hardships fell on some of the guys and they had to
mm-hmm.
move on.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took about 10 years to actually, you know, get a foothold in the business.
Right.
Where people, you know, started to book us and realize, you know, that what is it about the Planetones that's good? And what it was is that, you know, they knew that when they came to the show, that what they would get was the authentic thing that they
right.
loved when they were kids. And it made them realize that they weren't wrong to love this music in the first place.
Right.
And that's that's an amazing thing to convey to an audience.
Yeah.
Because if you convey that to them, you know what they give back to you is just unbelievable, and it just
right.
propels you to even a higher height.
Right. To be even better. But what I loved about the time too was you didn't need to play an instrument. All you needed was your voice. Get yourself a suit, costume, whatever you want to call it. Get a name, and there you were. Listen, we've got a caller. My switchboard is lighting up like crazy. Do you want to take a call from a fan?
Sure.
Let's
well,
see who we got calling in to speak to you. Hang on.
Okay.
Hi, welcome to Applause Radio Show. You're on with Kenny Vance. What's your name, and you got a question? Hello?
Yeah, John D. Peterson.
Hi, John.
How are you, Kenny? How are you doing?
Good.
I'm your. You might remember me at the winter dance party. I got my picture was taken with you and your son. I had the black hat on.
Yeah, I do remember you. Yeah,
I know you run into a lot of guys. Kenny, you're just fabulous. I just wish you know you'd come to the Kauffman Center and at Performing Arts sometime because man, I know you'd fill that place up.
Where is that?
That's Kansas City.
Oh, Kansas City. Oh, you know, speak to the promoter. We'll come if you could.
I did. I already talked to them. I already emailed them. You know, they've had several guys there. You know, the tour and stuff. But yeah, I talked to them. I'd love for you to be there. I know you'd fill that place up.
Well, you know, it was so exciting to play at the winter. Joanne, we played in Iowa, and
mm-hmm.
Lake City is it?
No, Clear Lake.
At Clear Lake, where they honor Buddy Holly. It's the Buddy Holly Winter Dance Party,
Very cool.
We played out there this year, and there must have been about 3,000 people there. It's just really extraordinary, you know most of the music is rockabilly, and they had Hayden Thompson, and he's
I'm
a member
old.
Of the
you're a year younger than me, Kenny. I'm 8 years old.
He's 85, and Joanne,
yes,
this guy could sing his ass off. I couldn't believe it. He was on Sun Records. He was on Sun Records, the label that Elvis was on.
Yes.
And he and who backed him up was the greatest guitar player. Is Albert Lee.
Hmm.
Albert Lee, who was the music director for the Everly Brothers, and he played with, the Crossroads thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Albert Lee is just, you know, brilliant. And also the guy from the Stray Cats was
mm-hmm.
the drummer.
The drummer, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was the Phantom or something like that.
Yes.
It was really exciting. And then we played, and I thought, you know, and then all these people came over to me afterwards and they said, you know, I'm from England or I'm from Japan or I'm from, and they come every year, they call them pilgrims, and they come for every year, they come from, you know,
cool.
all over the world to honor Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, and Ritchie Valens, you know, because the plane crashed there. And I know that Don McLean did a documentary there called The Day the Music Died.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was thrilling. So I said, well, how do you know about us? And, you know, and they said, well, we see you on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, I mean, you've been playing for years. What do you mean YouTube? My goodness.
No, but
I
that's
mean,
how,
you,
but that, but I'm just talking about people from all over the world.
From all over the place,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
they're not in New York or they're not in
right.
Brooklyn. Or, you
right.
know, how do you know us? And they go, we
right.
know you from YouTube.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
I know that other people's going to want to talk to you, but let me tell you one thing, Kenny. Your picture is framed on my wall.
Oh,
okay.
Nice.
All right.
Well,
yeah.
listen. Wait, John, don't hang up. Kenny, for folks like John who can't make the festival, how can they watch Heart and Soul after the festival tomorrow?
You know, the first of all, if you go online, you can see the trailer for it.
Mm-hmm.
If you look up, there's a whole bunch of publicity. And you go online and you see the trailer for the film. But it's starting to, we're going to actually be at the Sunscreen Film Festival in St. Petersburg, Florida, April 29th. And we're going to be at the Grammy Museum for the opening of Black Music Month. And we're going to be there opening at the Grammy Museum in L.A.
L.A., okay.
For a screening June 8th. But
nice.
I think that the people in the Winter Dance Party want me, maybe the group and me or just me to come and screen the movie there next year.
Well,
very
I'll be
nice.
There, Kenny. Yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, just,
yeah.
you know, keep your eye, you know, keep. We're starting to get into film festivals all over the place. So, you know, maybe Kansas City. I think Peoria wants us to Peoria, Illinois. So, you know, it's starting to happen. So thanks for calling, man, and stay well.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
tell your son hello for me, and I just think it's wonderful how you love your son, and he loves you. I can see how much he loved you.
Beautiful.
Thank you guys for singing good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you, man.
John, thank
All
you
right.
so much for calling. Keep listening, and you might hear something you never knew about Kenny.
Oh, you know, hey, I like Joey D, too. I was going to ask Kenny, is he still jumping around on the stage like he did
You
before?
Know, he's still, not like he did before, but he's still jumping. And
he's still moving.
He's going to keep doing that. He's a beautiful man.
Yes,
oh, I know
yes.
he is. I always talk about him. I said I can't believe how much he was jumping around singing Peppermint Twist. You know, he was going like crazy. Yeah,
wonderful.
Okay, guys.
Wonderful.
I love you, Kenny. I think you're fabulous. Yep.
Thank you, John.
Man. All the best.
Take
Have
care.
A good night.
Thank you for the call. Thank you so much. Bye bye.
Uh-huh.
Well, I wanted to ask you real quick. Now, the footage from Heart and Soul, is that from when you were doing your tours with Jay and the Americans and you were taking the footage yourself, or is it someone else's footage, or is it your personal footage, Ken?
It's a lot of other people's footage and some of my footage, and then there's archival footage and there's photographs and all of that.
Right.
And what happens was when I did see the footage, I really thought, you know, that there was such beautiful, beautiful things to see and wonderful people in the movie. Arlene Smith from the Chantels, mm-hmm. Cleveland Still from the Dubs, Little Anthony and the Imperials, several of the original teenagers. It just was from the heart and soul, you know, I really think that anybody that's, you know, I have to say that, you know, many years before I started it, I read an interview with Martin Scorsese in the in the New York Times, and he said, you know, if you're given the grace at this age to make a film, he says, you better make sure that it's about something that needs to be told. And mm-hmm. if I did nothing else, I really believe that I accomplished that. It's a
Absolutely.
Story of people like us, you know, people that love this music and just really takes them back to the origin of it and the people and you get to really meet these people. It's not mm-hmm. just a lot of talking heads, it's conversation. And through the conversations, the audience realizes something about these people that they never could realize in any other way than to hear these intimate conversations.
Right. Well, I'm hoping I get to see it. I really do. But I want to take you back a little further, if you don't mind, real quick. For those who don't know, How You Could Not is Kenny is one of the founding members of Jay and the Americans. And I didn't know that you guys opened for the Stones. I had no idea. That must have been something interesting, huh?
Oh, not only did we open for them, we shared the dressing room with them.
No kidding.
And
and the Beatles too, right?
Well, that was about 6-8 months before that. Mm. We were the opening act for the Beatles when they played in the first U.S. appearance in
Washington
D.C.
Yeah,
Washington D.C. And then, I don't know, maybe 6 to 8 months later, the Rolling Stones were playing at Carnegie Hall. So there were two shows, and this is a true story. I just made me think of it. So about several months before that, we were on the Clay Cole show. Remember that?
Yes,
or
yes.
No?
Well, I have reruns.
Okay. Well, he had a show. He was a really a pioneer in this industry, and I remember that they had a makeup person and the woman put makeup on us. I was with my other group, the Harbolites. That was the first group. And then they put makeup on us. So
No Brooklyn boy wants makeup on him.
Well, you know, Not in the street at that time, but for TV. And I just thought, oh man, this is really cool. So I found out where they got it from, and there was on Broadway and 54th Street. There was a little, you know, like a place that sold cigarettes and magazines and newspapers. You don't really see that too much anymore.
Right,
it's like a vanishing world.
Everything's vanishing. Yes.
But anyway, so I bought, it was called, I think, Pancake Makeup Number 2. So I bought the
number
stuff, and you know, because it was a certain type of tan makeup. So I had it. I just, you know, not that I would wear it often, but put a little life on me once in a while.
Right.
So. I happened to have it, and we were playing with the Stones, and we're all in the same dressing room upstairs in Carnegie Hall, and I take out the makeup sponge, and I'm putting it on, and Mick Jagger and Brian Jones come over to me and say, "What is that?" Well, they didn't have a Brooklyn accent. I told them, so they both took the sponge. And they applied it to their faces. So that's one of those rock and roll stories that nobody knows.
Yeah.
And but the funny thing about that show was, so the disc jockey was Murray the K. He was the MC.
Okay.
So we opened the first show, and we did, you know, Only in America and Caramia, Come a Little
Bit
Closer, all the songs.
Yeah, classics.
And the people, you know, they were happy to see us and everything. But then the Rolling Stones came on, and, you know, the place went insane. They were really going crazy.
Yeah,
so,
British invasion at the time, right?
A whole other level.
Right. Right.
So now there's a second show. So Murray the K comes over. We're in the dressing room, and he says, listen, he says, you guys got to close the second show. I said, what, are you crazy? We can't close the show. He says, if you don't close the show, it's going to be a riot.
Oh, God.
So listen, we opened for the Rolling Stones, and we closed for the Rolling. But here's the thing. For the second show, you know, they destroyed the place.
I bet.
And now they're sneaking them out the back, out into the, you know, out the back into in the alley there at Carnegie Hall, you know, and put them in the limo and drive them away. So Murray the K comes out. He says, right now, from Brooklyn, New York, Jane the Americans. And we come out. We got this alpaca sweaters on, doing these steps. And the place is getting up and running out the back door.
Oh, no.
No, that's the truth. So we're on the stage at Carnegie Hall singing Only in America. And by the time this song was over, we had cleared, the place was empty.
Oh, God.
And they
well,
had
it had
run
nothing
out
to do the, with you. It was the British
no,
invasion.
No, they ran
why.
Out the back. They ran out to try to catch the car.
The stall.
And I understood it. So, you know, after the show, I took a cab back to Brooklyn where I lived, and I thought to myself, I said, I better get a guitar.
So you taught yourself to play? Did you teach yourself to play, Ken? Wow.
Yeah. Mm. I can't really, you know, I'm not really a guitar player like Johnny Gale. You know, I'm just, you know, a picker a little bit, yeah.
Right.
I can play.
Well,
but.
Yeah, well, I had no idea that you were on the music producer and supervisor on Saturday Night Live. I mean, how'd you get that gig?
Music director, excuse me.
Yeah,
I had been on the show. When I left Jane and the Americans, I think it was around 71 or 2, I think. Mm. And we all left. You know, it was over. And
right,
Jay Black, he continued by himself.
Right.
And we all did different things. And I wound up working. I made a record by myself, Vance 32, which was on Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
And the original version of Looking for an Echo is on that album. And then... let's see. And then I worked in the film business. I did American Hot Wax. I did Animal House. I did The Warriors.
And the Cruisers.
Yeah, but that was later. So 79 was The Warriors, and then 80-81, I worked as the music director for Saturday Night Live. But the reason is that around somewhere in the middle there, middle of those films, I worked for Fania Records with Ray Barreto, Johnny Pacheco, Ishmael Miranda, and all of the salsa people. Johnny Pacheco, in particular, was the music director for the Fania All Stars, and I had this idea to do a crossover record with, so I had used. Work with the Fania All Stars as the band, and I wrote a song in English that went to the salsa groove. And so in those days, Saturday Night Live, when they had a musical guest, they were looking for unusual things, and they put me on as a guest. So I became friends with, you know, I became friends with John Belushi and Lorraine Newman and Chevy Chase and those people. And so at the time, I believe Howard Shore was the music director, and he started scoring films, and I was there. So I got hired as the music director.
Wow. You've had an amazing life. I mean, I didn't know that, Lieber and Stoller actually named you guys, I mean, to work with them What a thrill. And I got to ask you about the Brill Building, because I've always been fascinated with the Brill Building. Were you hanging outside to get in, or did you finally, I mean, what was your story about the Brill Building?
Well, I was with the crew, this group, the Harbelites, you know, with our first group. And so we would come into the city, and we had an audition at for Ivy Records. Ivy Records had a hit Lullaby of the Bells by the Deltares. And so we were in 1697 Broadway, which became the Ed Sullivan Theater Building, where David Letterman did his show. And there was a building there that had a lot of, you know, low, like in those days, RCA and Capitol and Columbia and Decca, they didn't want this music. They didn't want, you know, this music by kids. You know, they still had Al Martino and Patti Page and, you know, and Julius Rosa. They had great people, but they had adults. So a lot of fly-by-night record companies opened up in 1697. Old Town Records, they had the Solitaires and Robin and Johnny, and the Ivy Records was there, and other, you know, smaller labels were in that building. But also there was a manager in that building by the name of Jim Gribble, and he managed the Mystics and the Passions and the Mellow Kings. And he managed our group, and also Paul Simon was up there, and Al Cooper was up there, and Stan Vincent was up there as writers. The Earls were up there, you know, no, never fall in love again, no. Larry Chance,
no. I can't go that low.
That's good.
Did you work with Carole King at all, or did you see her there?
No, I didn't. And she was after. It's a whole other story. But how we got to the Brill Building is that Jay Traynor became the lead singer of the Mystics that had a hit with Hushabye. As a matter of fact, he recorded like their third single, which is Blue Star, and the White Cliffs of Dover, which is, you know, you hear him, he's just phenomenal. And he wasn't happy being with the Mystics, and we decided we were going to regroup, and we actually got an audition with Jerry Lieber and Mike Stolas. So we learned the song Wisdom of a Fool by the Five Keys. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. And we went over to the Brill Building. And we went up to Lieber and Stola Productions, and I remember the Coasters were there, and the Charlie Thomas and Benny King, and Elsbury Hobbs from the Drifters, and you know, it was just like unbelievable. And Burt Bacharach was up there.
Yep, amazing.
Burt Bacharach was there, Jeff Barry and Ellie Greenwich, and you know, it was just a big scene. Because everybody was making, you know, they were making it up as they went along, because this scene for kids, music by kids for kids, was brand new.
Yeah.
So Jerry and Lee, they made a record with us, and I don't know, 6 months later, we had it like a number one or five record in the country, and with She Cried. And when you listen to She Cried now, you hear a 17-year-old kid, Jay Traynor, singing the lead. And his performance is such a killer, you know, that you think to yourself, if it wasn't for him, you know, with that performance, it probably wouldn't have been a hit. And, you know, that was the beginning of our career.
Well, what's crazy is you do all these songs now and you sound just like them or even better. So, I mean, it's like, why didn't you do it then? You know, I guess somebody had to break it in.
You know what?
I guess somebody had to break it in. I don't know.
Well, you know, what it was is I didn't care. You know, I didn't really have any ego about I got to be the lead singer. I was just happy to have matching suits and hit. You know, there's something magical about hitting a beautiful harmony as the background.
Right.
Right. They have three guys on three different notes, and the blend, and you just, you know, it's instant eye contact and instant love, you know, it's just something about it. And
there's your instruments, yep.
And that was it for me. You know, we weren't, when I first saw the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show, I thought to myself, wow, these guys are a guitar band. I didn't even, you know, we were emulating, you know, the Moonglows and
right.
groups like that, that we were a vocal group. That's what it was in those days. You know, you were a vocal group. You know,
right.
there weren't really any bands. Of course, down south, you had Buddy Holly, and you had Rockabilly, and you had Carl
right.
Perkins, and you had, you know, and you had those guys. That was a different, you know, world. Those
right.
guys were coming out of country music, and they were all, you know, all the great country artists like Hank Williams and Lefty Frizzell and you know, Hank Snow. All those guys were players.
Right, right. And well,
Bob
like you
Dylan,
said,
you know,
you saw the changing times and you went with it.
Yeah, you know, as time went by, you know, it was time to pick up a guitar.
Well,
yeah.
Listen,
but,
speaking of this great music, I want to play one of your favorites, and I hope you don't mind, because let's show everybody what you're talking about with the vocals. This is Please Be My Love. I think it's one of your favorites, Ken. It's one of mine as well. So let's check this one out, guys.
Please be my love tonight.
Plucking in the back, but the vocals that's what was the song. The vocal, like you said,
yeah.
the harmonies
yeah.
together, that was your instrument, the harmonies. Oh,
yeah.
great
yeah.
stuff, Ken. Great stuff. Oh, my God. That's
you.
From,
Thank
is
you.
That with
yeah.
the Planetones, that one?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Very
yeah.
nice. Very nice. Now, I know when you perform live, your son, Lad, joined you on stage now. Do you think he's
well,
going
to
carry the torch for you?
Well, yeah, I think he could, and he's you know, just such a love of mine, mm-hmm. and he's it's thrilling to sing with him. He's in the group.
Yeah,
he's in
great
the permanent member there. Yeah, and it every time we do get together, which is not as much as we used to, but we do get together, and he's always there, and he's just fabulous. He's grown into being a really tremendous asset to the group.
Yes, well, I've heard actually a few songs that he's done with you, and just impeccable, just like you. Your vocals are just amazing,
thank
the
you.
Both of you.
Thank you.
The like John said, the love that you have for him is just amazing, and I couldn't imagine being able to get up there and sing with my kids. What a thrill alone just doing that, you know, to be able to share the stage with your son, and he sounds great, you know. It's not like, it's my son, let's get him up here to do a song, and, you know, he sucks,
right.
but, you know, it's just my son,
right.
you know, but he's
right.
not. He's great. He sounds great. So,
right.
but anyway, back to, do you know by any chance if there are any books out about the Brill Building? I would love to read the history about the building and great stories.
I think, you know, that's a good idea, actually.
Yes.
But I do think that there's a documentary that I did see many, many years ago on PBS, because I remember seeing Jerry Lieber and Mike Stola in it, and I think Ellie Greenwich, you know, was in it, who wrote many songs with Jeff Barry, and they're in that, and I think Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil are in it, and a tremendous talent, Brooks Arthur, who was the engineer for many of those records, you know, but that was a little later than the music that I'm talking about in my film. This was like the Shangri-Las, and the Dixie Cups, and stuff like that.
Right. No, the film is the beginning, of when it was happening.
The film is the beginning,
Because I'm going to have to see if I can find something online about that, because I'm always have been fascinated with the Brill Building. I said, my God, if I was born in the 50s, I'd be hanging out at the Brill Building every day, trying to get in that door, too.
Well, actually, you know, the place that the entrance was on 49th and Broadway.
Yes.
But to the left of it, recently, was the Colony Records.
Loved it.
But in the old days, when I would go there when we were kids, it was the Turf Bar.
Oh.
And on the right-hand side was Jack Dempsey's restaurant.
Really?
So you would
I didn't
walk
know
into
that.
The building, and on either side you would see the windows of all the way. You'd walk in all the way maybe 100 yards to the elevators, and in those days they had elevator operators.
Yes.
So the elevator operators, you know, you got to know all those guys. And so Jack Dempsey's who was a famous boxer. He had a restaurant, and on the left was the Turf Bar, and you'd see, you know, all the guys hanging out there. You'd see Little Richard would be in there.
And you'd see,
you know, guys from all the Drifters and all from all of those groups. And in the back of the Turf Bar, they had like 24 phone booths. So, you know, like there was always guys making deals in the phone booths, pretending that they had a record label or, you know, just some kind of the type, bookmakers.
Trying to look like there's something,
That guys, you know, pretending that they were happening.
Right, right. Oh, that must have been so cool. I remember Colony Records. I could get lost in there. I'd stay there for hours. Oh, my God. You never know who was going to pop in, too. You never knew who was going to pop in there, too.
Exactly. I remember once I was in there, and Sammy Davis came in, and he bought, like, you know, 10 albums. I said, my God. You know, and then you could buy all the sheet music there,
sheet
too.
Music, yep.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's gone. I couldn't believe it. I mean, everything's changed. Thank God, you guys. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, where are you? Are you in New York?
I'm in New Jersey, but I worked in New York for many, many years, and I would deliberately walk by the Brill Building and Colony on my way home, and I'd go to Colony on my lunch and just spend my lunch hour in there and just look at the albums, all the sheet music, and you know, they had collectible stuff too. So I would hang out there and just go crazy in there and get lost. And then the Brill Building, I would deliberately to make sure that I would walk past it every day and just look in and say, can you imagine what went on in there? I mean, my God. You know,
yeah, no,
I mean, just I always wanted to just go inside and say, can I just take a look and feel it? I just wanted to see if I could feel it, the energy that
sure.
was in there all those
sure.
years ago.
Sure.
You know, but even that's it's so different there, too, now. I don't even know if it's still there. The building's
I don't
there.
Think,
I don't know what's
there,
though.
Yeah, the building's there. Yeah, I don't either. I haven't been that
years.
Area in a while. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been years. But
well,
but now,
if you're in New Jersey, you could come as my guest on Saturday if you're available, and you
oh,
could
that'd
actually
be nice.
See the movie.
Well, actually, I'm
going to
see
know.
You. I'm going to see you May 6th at Bergen Pack. You're doing the Oh What a Night of Doo-Wop and Rock and Roll. I'm going to see you then.
Well, that's good, but, you know, if you want to see the movie, come Saturday, and call me tomorrow or call Lad, and he'll you know, I'll get you, put your name in plus one or whatever on.
Thank you. Well, you know what? I work for the paper. I could do an article about it, you know.
Great.
I always review it. Yeah, I always do pieces on my guests.
Why don't you come
and
review it?
And I do, I cover concerts as well, and that's why I'm going to May 6th, so I could do a review on the show. Don't worry, it's going to
be
good.
Don't
worry.
It would be phenomenal if you came. No, I'm not afraid. But if you came Saturday, you could do a review on the movie, and we could do a follow-up interview for the article if you want.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Why don't you call that tomorrow and
I will.
And tell them that I mentioned it and that you want to come with. You know, a friend or two, and I'll make sure that you get VIP treatment.
Oh, thank you so much. That'd be lovely. I'll definitely call him. Well, speaking of Lad, I know it's late. I don't want to keep. I would love to play a song with you and Lad, and then maybe just talk about the movie one more time. Let people know about where they can see it, and then
okay.
We'll let you go because I know it's late. I don't want to. And we started a half hour late, and. I can't thank you so much for your patience with me tonight with this technical issues. You know what it's like to be live, you know. So
well, here
okay.
we are. No, of course.
Yeah, well, guys, if you haven't heard, this is Kenny and his son, Lad, and they sound great together. And if Kenny ever retires, I swear Lad can fill his shoes. I'm not going to say he can fill your shoes. He can definitely put them on, though. How's that?
Okay, there you go.
So which one we want to do? I've got Devoted to You. Or
yeah, that's good.
You
yeah,
want
Devoted
that one?
To You is, I do. I like that one.
All
yeah.
right. So, guys, this is Devoted to You. This is Kenny and his son, Lad. So Kenny and Lad Vance, check this out, guys. Enjoy this.
Give you reason to cry. I've been
Love it. Love it. The two of you sound beautiful together. My goodness. Do you have any other kids or is it just Ken? Vlad, I'm sorry, Kenny.
No, he's got a brother, Greg.
And does Greg like brother. Does Greg perform as well or no?
No, he does a podcast though. He does some very interesting stuff online. Yeah.
Oh, very nice. What's the name of it? Let's let everybody know.
TVG Travels, I think.
Oh, cool. Everybody go check out TVG Travels with Greg Vance. How cool is that? Very nice.
That's cool.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Well, again, folks, Kenny is doing his premiere of his movie, Heart and Soul, on Saturday at 3 o'clock in Asbury Park. Check it out. I guess we could go to kennyvance.com or theplanetones.com. Where could we go? Everywhere.
I think the best place would probably the Garden State Film Festival.
Perfect.
You know, if they'll tell you where to go. And, Yeah.
Excellent. And if you guys want to check out any of the Planetone stuff, go to their website as well.
So, Joanne, if you're going to be there, they'll come and check you out, too.
You know what, Joey? You know what Joey said? I don't know if he was being funny or what, but we had a moment where we sang Peppermint Twist together, and it was a thrill for me. And he said I could come and sing Be My Little Baby with him on May 6th.
Wow,
on,
okay.
On stage. So I don't know if he was jerking my chain. So.
I don't think so.
I hope not, because, oh, my God, I could die the next day, and I'd be happy if that was the case.
That's sweet.
Oh, but anyway, I'm looking forward to the show on May 6th. If you guys want to go check that out, too, on the East Coast. Oh, what a night of doo-wop and rock and roll over at the Bergen Pack. Go check that out. And, of course, the movie, Heart and Soul. Can't wait to see it. I will definitely give Lad a call tomorrow. And I hope to see you. Yes, that'd be lovely.
Great.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Make sure you come and say hi. And
of course.
Okay.
Of course.
All right, Joanne.
Oh, thank you so much, everybody. Kenny Vance, Jay and the Americans, the Planetones, everywhere. Saturday Night Live. He's been everywhere. I mean, just if you don't know, you need to know. And how you don't know is crazy to me. So check out the new movie, Heart and Soul, Saturday, 3 p.m. over in Asbury Park at the State, Garden State Arts Theater. What was it?
No, the Garden State Film Festival. I don't know the address. Yeah.
Garden State. Yeah. I got to write that down. Garden State Film Festival at Asbury Park.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent.
Okay,
Kenny,
guys.
Thank you so very, very much. And what a pleasure. And I hope to see you on Saturday. Thank you so very much.
Okay.
Have a wonderful night. Take care.
You
everybody.
Too.
Kenny Vance. Thank you. Thank you so much, Kenny.
Thank you.
Take care. Thank you.
You
oh, my goodness. Oh, God. Listen. I grew up listening to this stuff, and I don't know if you guys were tuned in last night, but this music, I think, is what turned me on to music, to have music in me that I can create because of music like that. Growing up with that in my house, the music, again, was, I don't want to say simplistic, but there really was no music. It was all vocal. So like you heard in the song that we heard earlier, all you hear is a snare, and it's only hitting once. It's not, you know, it's just a one, that's it. One tap, no cymbals. I didn't even hear a kick drum in there. And vocals, a bass, and a little plucking on a guitar. That's it. That's it. And that's what we enjoy, because I wasn't there for it. It was on my house all playing on CBS FM constantly 24/7. So that's all I listened to growing up. So also my Elvis influence from that too. But Kenny Vance, my goodness, singer, songwriter, music production supervisor, director now with the movie. And he's just, he's found artists and promoted artists, basically been the manager of bands as well, and had a lot to do with Steely Dan. Maybe people don't know that. I would like to talk to him about that. But we got a late start, a half-hour start. He's tired. I know he's got a lot going on. So, and it's late, folks. I didn't want to keep him. So, and thank you to our caller, John. I'm sorry for the folks that were on hold. I couldn't get to you. So, it's hard to interrupt a great conversation. So, again, the movie is Heart and Soul. and it's footage from Frankie Lyman and that just all performances and behind the scenes chats and stuff like that. I don't want to go too much into it because I really don't know the details until I see it. But it's at the Garden State Film Festival in Asbury Park on Saturday, the 25th. Is that the 25th? Where's my calendar? Where the hell is the calendar? Here we go. Yes, Saturday is the 25th, March 25th, 3 p.m. at the Garden State Film Festival, and it's called Heart and Soul. And I'm going to post the trailer later so you guys can see that. So, and I cannot wait for May 6th for the Oh, What a Night of Doo-Wop and Rock and Roll show. That is going to be great. And, my God, if Joey, you better not be playing with me. If Joey is serious and I'm able to get up there and sing Be My Little Baby with him, like I said, I could die the next day and I would have a smile on my face. So anyway, I wanted to play a bunch of more stuff, but, I really wanted to talk. So, but I'm going to play another one. I'm going to close out with a medley. It's live. It's a medley of Kenny with the Planetones. So, about 4 minutes, so it's got enough good stuff in there, and it's Kenny singing, and it's the classics from Jay and the Americans. So go to the website, theplanetones.com, kennyvance.com. You can get anything and everything, and go check out your venues for tickets, and especially this Garden State Film Festival. I hope to make it there. I have to check my schedule and see, but right now I don't know what's up, but I will definitely check it out and give Lad a call tomorrow. So Lad, expect to hear from me tomorrow, sir. And you were wonderful. Thank you. And you were patient with me as well. I've had a lot of technical issues tonight. I don't know what's going on anyway, but listen, thank you all very much. Kenny Vance, thank you from the bottom of my heart for joining me. Thank you. What a honor, pleasure, thrill, you name it, it was. So have a great night, everybody. We will see you on Sunday, the 26th, 9 p.m. Eastern with Christine Wiltshire from Musique. We're going to do a little push in the bush. We're going to go back to disco. How cool is that? And our calendar, I'm hoping I get to it this weekend, so we could get the April guests up. We're full again. Again, all I said was I'm back, and it's just been overwhelming. So beautiful, beautiful, great times. And have I said how happy I am to be back? Yes, I have. And I'll say it again and again. So have a good night, folks. We'll see you Sunday. Have a great weekend. And go check it out, Heart and Soul, at the Garden State Film Festival in Asbury at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Have a good night. Kenny Vance, thank you very much. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
With this song.
You know what? I was going to end the show on that, but can you believe that's Kenny singing those high notes? He still can sing those notes. Unbelievable. What a show he puts on. Him and Ladd, unbelievable. Unbelievable. I want to play another one, and then we'll close it out. So I just had to hear those. I'm sorry. And let's see. Which one did we hear already? I don't want to do Looking for an Echo because it's the live version, and I'd rather do it here. Let's do this one. This is Love Me, Kenny Vance and the Planetones. Have a good night, folks. Check out Heart and Soul at the Asbury Park Garden State Film Festival on the 25th at 3 p.m. Eastern. Thank you so much again, Kenny Vance. Thank you. Take care, everybody. Have a good night. Have a good weekend. Peace out.
All I do is think of you, and all I want, your love so true. Please say you'll be mine until the end of time. Oh, please, love.
Just say you'll be mine.